Hour four, first up, off and running here on TSN 1050, streaming worldwide, tsn1050.ca, and on the iHeartRadio Canada app. Korolnik and DeStefano with you this morning. You know, Al's brother is the host of Leafs Lunch and big-time contributor to Overdrive in the NFL season. When I say contributor, I mean contributor of losing NFL picks. Hey, Al's brother, how you feeling?
I was feeling great, and then you just came in here, and now I feel like a sack of crap. But hey,
37%, huge bounce back coming this year.
I'm 3-0 so far in the preseason. I'm going to be keeping track of my preseason.
There's been one game.
I know, and I won all three of my bets.
Oh, so you took the money line, the spread, and.
It was a three-leg parlay, and I went three for three in my parlay. I took the spread. I took the first half money line on Vegas, and then I also took the over. Went 3 for 3 on all of them.
That doesn't count. It has to be documented on Overdrive, Team Al Dog versus Team Hayes, to count towards your record. But I think the thing that you did last year that was so brilliant was just perform so horribly that you set yourself up, even if you're 50% this year, huge improvement.
That's right.
You know, I'm sure there'll be some people out there fading your picks, and they would be making poor decisions because I think you're going to have a big year. I think you've got some good sources, your ear to the ground, and some good picks coming your way. Do you have anything for us tonight in NFL preseason action?
Tonight, I do like the Giants to win tonight. I like them to cover the number and just playing for the fact that, you know, Brian Daboll, new offense. I think that they're going to go out there and try and put some points on the board early with Daniel Jones, and not high on New England. Plus, they're not playing their starters. Not a good combination. So I do like the Giants 2.5.
Well said. That is a little bit of a preview of my FanDuel Best Bets coming up at the end of today's program. But coming up in about 30 minutes, Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, live from Edmonton at the World Juniors. Canada coming off a 5-2 win over Latvia. They play Slovakia. Slovakia or Slovakia? What do you go with, House Brother?
Slovakia.
Slovakia. Yes.
Who knows?
I like it. Well, you're the aficionado of pronunciation on this program today, because that certainly is not me. We did welcome in Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst, earlier on today's program. We've been talking a lot about the Jays for obvious reasons in recent weeks leading up to the deadline. They make some moves, maybe not the earth-shattering moves that some were expecting, but there has been a lot of rain in Baltimore the last couple of nights. Of course, a 78-minute rain delay a couple of nights ago. And last night, the entire game washed out. So we began our conversation with Steve Phillips asking him, what was it like as a GM waiting out rain delays?
Here's the thing, like when you're the home team and you're the general manager and it's a rain delay, you know, then I spent my time with the stadium operations people looking at the radar. You know, in New York, we would call LaGuardia Airport because their radar was fantastic. They'd know, like, you know, you're 3 minutes away from getting a squall. You're two minutes away from this. It's going to last for an hour and a half. And so, you know, we'd continuously get weather updates. The problem was that inevitably, you know, where there seems to be a window that opens, they close as well. And so, like, I would give updates in the clubhouse and say, look, we're going to wait for an hour. Then there's going to be a window that will open. And that was always the thing that I got mocked for, was going in saying, okay, there's going to be a window. Because later I would come in and they'd say, well, what happened to the window? I'm like, yeah, so you're continuously updating everybody on the weather update, what's going on with it. The players during this time, some of them go in and play video games. Some of them would go in and play cards. Some of them would go in and eat. Some of them would go in and open up mail, like if they had their fan mail and stuff that was sitting there. And it was, you know, they would do whatever they had to do to distract themselves, while also trying to maintain some level of focus, knowing that at any moment you could be a half hour away from starting the game. Because, you know, typically by the time you take the tarp off the field and start taking it off, it's going to be at least half an hour for the grounds crew to get the field ready to play, where they're going to have to, you know, take care of whatever rain got under the tarp, rolling it off the field, chalking the field, and making sure that it's ready to go. So, you know, there is a lot of sitting around. It can drive guys crazy, and especially when you get those 2.5 hour rain delays, they're at some point, because players, you know, when you play 162 games in 187 days, there's a point where you think, geez, I would love a rain out right now. I'd love a rain out right now. Now, with a dome stadium, you don't tend to get those, obviously. And in San Diego, they don't get them because it never rains there. So there are some thought of for players that a rain out could come at a pretty good time.
Doesn't rain, doesn't snow. It's perfect weather down in San Diego. I'll tell you that much. It's not too bad. But yeah, Roger said, like, you never have to deal with that at home, right? You just, you know, you just close up the dome and away you go. You know you're going to get that ball game. But when you look at it, Steve, I mean, Jose Berríos was scheduled to start last night, and we all know how staggering his home and road splits are. 750 ERA on the road, 323 at home. If you look at it, is it kind of, you know, a blessing in disguise that they were able to push his start back to now he gets to go tomorrow at home against Cleveland as opposed to another road start?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. And, you know, from his perspective, there's probably some part of him like, I wouldn't mind pitching on the road. I got to get this turned around and compete. But I think that particularly at this time of year, everybody getting pushed back a little bit is not a bad thing. You know, so Manoah's last start wasn't his best. I was a little concerned about the headbutt he did on the railing of the dugout when Manoah was taken out of the game. He was so frustrated that he sat there, and next thing you know, he's headbutting the railing. Now, there was a pad on it. So, you know, an extra day or two for him to recover, not the worst thing either. But I think that, honestly, it may be the biggest blessing, because you end up getting Berríos coming back home. You get everybody an extra couple days now because you're pushing it back. And I think that you know, where everybody in August could be a bit fatigued, it would be something where they could all come out of this fresh for the stretch run.
Our guest is our MLB analyst, Steve Phillips, here on First Up. Kurulnik and Al's brother, a.k.a. Mike DiStefano, co-hosting this morning. And, Steve, as you can imagine, a story we really enjoyed yesterday was Rodolfo Castro having his iPhone in his back pocket while running the bases for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And a report yesterday that Major League Baseball is investigating him for his stupidity, really. How do you think this one plays out? Because, of course, you're not allowed to have an iPhone on you unless it's a league-approved iPad, I think, in the dugout. How do you think this situation plays out? You think he gets a fine? Yeah. Anything more serious?
Yeah, I mean, this kid's a rookie, and, you know, early in his career, he got called up, and, you know, he was taking pictures. He's probably taking selfies in the stadium. Like, this is, like, he's enjoying being a call-up. And the idea that he did anything, you know, with malice is just far-fetched. I mean, he made a mistake. He got caught up in the moment. I would hope that, now, I understand that there are rules and that, you know, he did violate the rule, and he'll probably get a fine of some sort. For a kid who's not making much money, geez, can we just cut him a break on this one? He wasn't trying to cheat. He didn't have his phone in his back pocket where he was hoping that, you know, somebody would text him fastball and it would vibrate in his pocket when he's getting ready to hit, right?
I mean,
that's what guys are afraid of, and that's what the league's afraid of, is that, you know, you have the phone with you. But that's not what this was. And if it was, he certainly didn't hide it very well. And so I hope that there's some empathy for a young kid making his debut and not getting all over him on this, because it was just a mistake.
Bo Bichette swinging a bit of a hot bat right now. He's got an OPS over 1,000 his last 7 games. Steve, are you seeing better approach at the plate from him lately? Is this closer to what we should be expecting from Bo, or is it just a bit of a hot streak?
Well, what I do like is, and this is what makes me feel like, you know, home runs don't typically mean that a guy's coming out of a streak. But what I do like is that he's driving the ball to the opposite field. And that, to me, is the key. That when anybody's really struggling, then what they're doing is they start getting over-anxious. They start jumping out at the ball. They start trying to go hit it out of the pitcher's hand instead of letting the ball travel. And what he's done over the last few days, those at-bats in Baltimore were great, where he's driving the ball to right field, down the right field line. Much better approach for him. Because what it does is it keeps him on the ball. It lets him see it longer. And I know that he can make the adjustment, the spin on the inside pitch. I wanted to be able to drive that pitch out over the plate. And then the pitchers will say, well, geez, we better come in. And that's where he can start to turn on one and drive it. So I think it's a really good sign. He was due to break out to make that final adjustment to get over the top. And it's coming at the right time, because the Jays need to get back on track. Because, look, the Yankees have lost 7 out of 8. There's a vulnerability there for the Yankees right now. With all the injuries that they have, with the pitching issues that they have, the door could be open. And the Jays have to just get their act together and go on a run. But the other thing that could be critical for Toronto is when you've got the team in front of you within reach, then you stop focusing over what's going on behind you and looking backwards at who might catch us, and you start thinking, let's go catch them. And it changes the whole dynamic and approach of how you go about business every day, because you're not looking at the scoreboard to try to figure out what Seattle did or what Tampa Bay or the Orioles did behind you. You're looking at trying to figure out what the Yankees did, and can you go get them and win this division?
Ironic that Joey Gallo, formerly of the Yankees, sent over to the Dodgers. It's a three-run homer last night. The Dodgers win their 10th game in a row. And in the National League, there was so much talk about the San Diego Padres bringing in Soto. They're getting Tatis Jr. back. Of course, Manny Machado's there. Great team. But the Dodgers, I feel, were almost under-discussed as far as being the class of the National League. They're destroying everybody else in the NL. How would you compare this year's Dodgers team, Steve, to some of the great teams in recent memory for L.A.?
Well, I don't like it as much, honestly, because I don't love their starting pitching. Now, I never would have imagined that their two best pitchers this year would be Tony Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson. I mean, just because, you know, you got Urias, you got Bueller, you've got Kershaw. And so now, you know, the guys who pitched the best for them are guys you thought were going to be their number four, number five starters. And they're also going to get Trevor May back. Remember, he's the carrot top, the kind of, you know, kind of big haired, redheaded kid who had Tommy John surgery, working his way back into the mix. But I don't love their pitching in the playoffs. Like, Gonsolin and Anderson do not strike fear in me, and I think good lineups can handle them. So they're dominating now. Their offense is really good. And, you know, Gallo's addition with the three-run homer, but now Cody Bellinger's starting to get it going a little bit. Chris Taylor hit a home run yesterday on a hanging curveball. And so, you know, Will Smith, the catcher's one of the best-kept secrets in the game. Really an outstanding, fine, young offensive catcher. But, you know, I do think that there's some vulnerability with their pitching this year. Kershaw's down. They traded away Mitchell White to the Dodgers. You know, and Mitchell White, to me, he is Ross Stripling 3 years ago. So, you know, when the Blue Jays got Stripling, he had been the swing man, you know, middle reliever and, you know, spot starter there. I was shocked that the Dodgers traded White, because as soon as they did, then Kershaw goes down, and now they're wondering, well, what are we going to do with our pitching? Now, Trevor May will be back, but, you know, they've depleted their depth of pitching pretty significantly. It's going to be interesting to see if Bueller comes back and how the Dodgers are going to play.
Well, I see our old boy David Price picked up the win last night. He's a pretty effective reliever out there in L.A., and I would guess he's probably making a lot of money and not starting games, obviously, for the Dodgers. What is his contract right now, Steve, for this season?
I think he's making $31 million, but okay, I think it may be that, yeah, yeah, it's a rather pricey reliever,
yes,
you know, a guy that pitches one inning, you know, every fourth day or something like that, but it's a good veteran guy to have on the team. And, you know, he's winding down his career a little bit right now, obviously. But, you know, and look, he hasn't even been on the playoff roster the last couple times for them. So I think that he has been more effective. They could use it, allowed them to trade Clevinger away to Tampa Bay, one of their left-handed relievers. And so we'll see what they do. But Price has been a real valuable guy, and he's been through it before. So I could see Dave Roberts trusting him with some tough innings down the last month, couple months of the season, and then obviously in the postseason.
Steve, we got the Field of Dreams that really snuck up on me. I didn't realize. I was just kind of looking around. I said, oh, the Field of Dreams game is tonight down in the cornfield in Iowa between the Reds and the Cubbies. Do you think it's possible for this game to live up to the hype from last year, or is it a bit of a disservice from MLB to have this one between the Reds and Cubs?
No, I think they should play it again, but I think it's going to be nearly impossible for it to live up to the first year. You know, Kevin Costner coming out of the corn to address the crowd, and he kind of talked too long, but it was okay. You know, it's Kevin Costner. But the show that the Yankees and White Sox put on, I was at that game. It was unbelievable. That was such a great experience to be there and to be able to see the movie set. I mean, obviously, I loved the movie growing up, but to be able to watch the movie, be by the movie set, to go through the cornfields to the ballpark there, the efforts that Major League Baseball put in, what they did to make that field, you know, first class Major League caliber field, it was quite a setting. And then the show that was put on was phenomenal, and so yeah, it was awesome. But I can't imagine, you know, that it could live up to the same this year. So it'll be a great experience for the Reds and the Cubs, but it cannot match, I think, the storylines that we had coming into that game last year, which was really, it's quite a show.
Steve, my boy Al's brother has never seen Field of Dreams, unless he saw it since we had you on the show last week. Al's brother?
I have not, unfortunately.
What are you doing with your time? Come
not.
On.
I got time. There's still a couple of weeks left in summer. We'll get to it.
All right. We got a long list of baseball movies for you to watch, Al's brother. And maybe next week, Steve. Field of Dreams this week. Maybe we'll talk about Bull Durham or Rookie of the Year, Henry, what was his name? Henry Baumgartner or something like that? Roland Gartner? The kid comes out of the...
Yeah, Roland Gartner, I think is what it was. Yeah.
Comes out of the stands for the Cubs and throws like 110 miles an hour. Ah, great film. Very realistic as well. Anyway, Steve, thank you for doing this for us as always. We'll chat with you next week.
All right. Thanks guys. Have a good day.
Rookie of the Year. What a film, eh? Al's brother?
Just, yeah.
Rocket arm.
I think I saw it when I was younger, so yeah. The one film that I saw.
It's true. Anyways, Mike Johnson, I'm sure he's seen a lot of films. This is a worldly individual, and he is now in Edmonton covering the World Junior Hockey Championship for us here on TSN. You saw him calling the Canada-Latvia game last night with Gord Miller. I'm sure he'll be on the call tonight as well. Canada-Slovakia game I'm looking forward to, no doubt. See what Connor Bedard has in store for the audience in Edmonton later this evening. It's Karolnik, it's DiStefano, a.k.a. Al's brother, and it's first up here on TSN 1050. I ain't worried about it.
First up continues here on TSN 1050. I'm Mike DiStefano, a.k.a. Al's brother, filling in for Carlo Koliakovo, Aaron Karolnik, your regular here with us. We're going to have Mike Johnson on about 5 minutes, a little more than 5 minutes, 7 minutes or so. And my guy, Mike Johnson, will join the show. It's so funny. I think back to how me and Johnny met, and everybody remembers this, the earbud incident, and now he's the guy who I talk to on a weekly basis. I wonder if he knew back on that day if this was going to have to be a regular occurrence where he had to speak to the man who did what he believes to be potentially one of the more despicable acts that was laid upon him by shoving his earbuds inside my ears.
Well, I mean, I guess we could ask him in about 7 minutes, but I can tell you for certain his answer is no. He did not expect you would thrive and mature and progress to the point in your media career where you're hosting shows, you're a dominant force on national television. But yeah, the sharing of earbuds, to quote Louis DeBing, not the best. I am curious, though. You know, we work for a terrific radio station, great employer in Bell. Can we get the wireless going on in the radio studio? Like, what's the deal with that? How hard would that be to put in?
Yeah, that would probably be a lot better if you could get that done. I was in there the other day. The one thing was broken. I had to go and get one of those extenders and put it in. Something was broken in there?
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah, hard to believe. I'm not sure if it's been fixed yet or not.
Probably not.
I haven't been there since last week. Well, I'll find out Monday when I'm in there.
20 fingers, we'll go take a look over there. He's hard at work in the TSN radio studio. He just shrugs his shoulders. That would imply to me that he will not be doing that in spite of our asks. So we got a text from a listener, last two digits, 19. Great job on the NFL talk this morning, guys. Preseason opening weekend. I'm fired up. Love the AK and Al's brother analysis. I will not read the other text we received, which was not nearly as flattering.
It wasn't as flattering, but it did give us an amazing segment idea.
Good point. That's true. You know, we appreciate the text, 1050-50. Maybe we'll read some more of the texts at the end of today's program. We've got Mike Johnson standing by, TSN hockey analyst, live from Edmonton. I wonder what goes on. Like, are the TSN guys all hanging out at the bars, following the games, with the scouts, with the other broadcasters? What's the scene in Edmonton at the World Juniors this time around compared to maybe some of the Christmas time World Juniors in years past? Mike Johnson will join us on the other side. We'll get into Connor Bedard as well as First Up rolls on. This is TSN 1050. Back on First Up, Karolnik and Al's brother, or as I like to term us, the Bedard and McTavish of TSN Radio. You like that one, Al's brother?
I'm Bedard. I'll tell you that for free. I'm the Bedard.
I don't know. You know who can make that determination
just 'cause I'm
for us?
Just because I'm younger, guy.
Let's go to Edmonton, the man calling the Canadian games alongside Gord Miller for us here on TSN. Called Canada-Latvia last night. Imagine we'll be calling Canada-Slovakia as well. It is our hockey analyst and good friend, Mike Johnson. Mike, who is more Connor Bedard? Is it me or Al's brother?
Well, I would say, AK, you're Bedard because you're the finisher, and you got the big gun, and McTavish has got a a real physical presence to his game. So maybe AB is McTavish. But both are, I'll tell you what, in this tournament, both are really pretty darn good. So I'd be happy with being either one of them.
I like that answer.
Yeah, that's not bad. I'll take a Mason McTavish, third overall pick in the draft. That's not too shabby itself. And I mean, Carter Bedard. I mean, this guy's going to be a star in the National Hockey League. You saw what he did last night. The deceptiveness of his shot. I can't remember like a kid so young just being so lethal with the puck. Like, where does Connor Bedard to you sit amongst when we talk about, you know, generational talents? And maybe it's a little unfair to put, you know, that type of pressure on a 16-year-old kid. But, you know, when you look at him, does he fit in that mold of the McDavids and Crosbys and Matthews? Or is he maybe a rung below that?
It's so hard to say, AB, but at this point in his life, in his development, and what he has accomplished, and the numbers that he's put up, he's probably in that conversation. Now, it's hard for me to think anyone will do what McDavid and Crosby do in the NHL, just because those guys are some of the very best in the history of the league. But if you look at what he's done up to this point, the fact that he just turned 17, he's like a goal-a-game guy playing for Canada at the highest level of international tournaments. He's in the World Juniors as an undrafted player. Most undrafted players, when they play for Canada, are barely hanging on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like they thrive. And he's the go-to offensive player that the team is looking for, and he's fine with it. He must have had 15 shot attempts yesterday. I mean, he just was all over the puck all the time. And what's so unique about him is that, you know, he doesn't skate quite like Connor McDavid or whatever it might be, but he just shoots the puck at another level, and it's just interesting to see a guy who's not the biggest. He's listed at 5'9", but somebody who's that small shoot the puck that well at that age. It's just rare that you would have the strength and the kind of the ability to do that. But he does. He can just it's a gift. It's going to be what makes him, if he is a great NHL player, that is what it's going to be that makes him that. And so far, so good. One game in, I know it was against Latvia, but he was full value for all the hype he's been getting.
Our guest is TSN hockey analyst Mike Johnson, live from Edmonton ahead of the Canada-Slovakia game tonight, 6 o'clock on TSN. And MJ, as I'm sure you're well aware, a lot of questions heading into the tournament about how much buzz there would be. It's a summer World Juniors as opposed to the customary winter time. When you're walking around the streets of Edmonton, I'm sure, taking selfies with fans, what is kind of the talk been of just how popular and how much interest there is around the city and what's going on here?
Yeah, there's no question it's different, right? I mean, we can't act like it's not. It's the summertime. It's August. The weather's beautiful. This is the one month of the year where there's usually not very much hockey. There's unquestionably the Hockey Canada scandal that's gone on. You know, will have affected the attendance or the attention. So, yeah, there's probably not the same degree. Like, when it's Christmas time, it's just a different vibe. But I would just say this. For the people involved in the tournament, we have Team USA and Team Germany and Team Sweden staying at the same hotel as us. And they are fully invested, passionately chasing this tournament's title, this gold medal. And for those guys and for those involved, like, they are right into it, as they should be. So, I think it will be a kind of a slow growth as the tournament goes along and you see Canada, you see the storylines, maybe you get a little bit more interested as they go. But for the people involved, it's a really big opportunity, and they are as into it as you can be, and I think that will come through as we go through the next 10 days.
You talk about how it's a different tournament, also some different segments on TSN, including one of my favorites last night, O-Dog Goes to Practice. Now, Duthie was teasing this as something that could be a regular staple. Do we know if O-Dog went to practice this morning or is going to practice this morning?
Now, Duthie was saying it might be a regular staple. O was pretty was pretty clear saying, don't think this is going to be a regular thing we're going to do every day. So, depending on who you ask, you might get a different answer. But it was interesting because one of the things, you know, we're obviously focusing a lot of attention on Connor Bedard, and one of the things that O and I were both curious about was, you know, what is his stick like? Like, why? What makes him? What specs are he using? is he using to be able to shoot the puck so well? So I went to practice and he grabbed his stick and checked it out and was fiddling around with it. So I love it. I think you might need to talk to Jeff and his representation to see if that's going to be an everyday thing, because like to do his preparation from a distance. I don't know if he likes to get down to the rink every morning.
Well, I texted him, no response. So
as someone who knows Zoe a little bit, I just don't see it happening, to quote myself, when it comes to
O-Dog. Six times today, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I'm making t-shirts, so I got to try and get people out there.
And hats.
They got to know it. And hats. In conversation with Mike Johnson, TSN hockey analyst. So tonight, Canada taking on Slovakia, but, you know, a lot of their prospects decided not to come back for the continuation of the tournament. You know, what are you expecting the type of fight that Slovakia will be able to put up tonight against Canada without those guys?
Well, not as good as if they were there, obviously. And one of the unique wrinkles about this tournament is that there's no relegation. And so for teams like Slovakia, like Germany, that might be on that relegation bubble, you know, the best players don't feel that internal pressure. Like, I got to help my team stay in the top division because there is no relegation before the next Christmas tournament in Halifax and Moncton. So, you can understand why those guys, maybe after a long year of international play and the draft and development, decided to kind of take a moment. But, they'll be good. They'll be better than Latvia. They played their first game against, Czechia, which was a pretty exciting game, back and forth. They don't have the high end talent, but they play fast. They have some decent players, and their goaltender was really quite good in the first game. So, but it's one of those, it's as this tournament goes, until Canada plays, I guess they play Finland in their last round robin game, the attention really for Canada is just on Canada. Like, what are we doing? How are we playing? Because if they play well, they will win these games, and they're trying to, you know, figure out their systems, their lines, their chemistry. We joked about McTavish and Bedard and how great they've been together, but there are still some other pairings, some other lines on the team that have yet to kind of gel to that degree. So that's the focus for Canada. It should be a more competitive game. Canada should be a little bit better as well. But again, Canada, the big four countries in this tournament are kind of a cut above the rest. And if Canada plays well, they should be able to win.
Mike, before we brought you on in the last segment, we were talking about one of your first encounters with my co-host this morning, Al's brother, on Overdrive, when I don't remember the exact circumstances, but you ended up sharing earphones, and then he did the wool chat then, and there's the iconic picture that should be, probably is, hanging on Al's brother's wall with you and Hayes and the O-Dog and of course, Al's brother. What do you remember about that day? And, you know, share some insights, because we were discussing it in the previous segment.
So Al's brother, I mean, I'd never met Al's brother before. I mean, I'd probably spoken to him on the phone, but I've never really met him. I didn't know what he looked like, didn't know who he was. And so I got called out of an Overdrive segment to go to walk around the corner, record something for SportsCenter. And for whatever reason, it took a little bit longer. So when he came back from break, I wasn't there. So Al's brother, being the team guy he is, stepped in my absence to participate in the conversation. Maybe they're doing a quiz or Jerry's percentages. So I come back after my SportsCenter thing, and I kind of tiptoe into the studio to jump back on, and there's somebody sitting in the seat I was in, which is fine, I don't care, but I'm like, I don't know who this is. But then I look, and I'd left my headphones plugged in. And then the headphones were in full use, and they weren't the over-the-ear. They were in-the-ear headphones. Mm. And I just sat down. I'm like, okay. And so we're on air. So Al's brother stuck out his head to shake his hand. I'm like, I have no idea who this guy is. And why is he wearing my headphones? And what am I going to do with them now after the fact? So that was my first meeting with AB. But now, you know, he's gone on to fame and fortune as a star at TSN.
Just
Radio.
Fame.
So
just
now,
fame.
Well, the fame comes before the fortune, so it's
true.
A long journey.
Well, let's hope.
That was my first experience with AB when I didn't even know. I thought his name was Al. I didn't know anything about him. So, and I had to throw that, and I had to throw the headphones away because they were damaged goods after that.
Yeah, it's a good call. It's a good call. Maybe I mean, if you want, I could buy a new pair for Christmas this year, Johnny. We'll make it. We'll make it up to you. We'll go full circle. Although now I'm assuming you got yourself the AirPods and you're good to go. Quickly before we let you go, I'm curious about what's going on in the NHL. I mean, obviously we know Nazem Kadri yet to sign a contract. There's some speculation that there's a top drawer deal tucked away from the Islanders, but who knows if that's true or not. But what about like a bunch of these other guys who've yet to sign yet? There's so many out there, you know, Sonny Milano, Kessel, Evan Rodriguez, Paul Stastny. Like, there's so many other players who've yet to sign. Are you surprised by that? What do you think the holdup is?
I'm not really surprised. I mean, you say some of those names, and some of those names could absolutely help many teams. Johan Larsson, like, there's guys out there that can play and be contributors. But this is the reality of the capped world, especially with the cap not going up and people trying to budget their teams, is that the money gets spent fast. And then as the summer gets into August, teams, you know, are basically capped out. So if they want to sign someone else, they kind of have to make a transaction to do that. Obviously, teams don't stop working, but this is kind of the downtime for GMs and for teams. And so, if you're one of the guys who's a free agent and you don't get signed in the first 7 days, the likelihood of you getting signed in the next 7 weeks is not great. Like, you're going to see a lot of those guys go on tryouts places, which is a pretty lonely feeling for especially younger guys, like Sonny Milano, guys who think they have, you know, something to offer. All of a sudden they're out there as a UFA. They should find home eventually, but teams often think, you know what, we're capped out. Let's give our young player a chance to step in, see what he can do in camp and what he can do in the preseason games. And then if he doesn't, we know we have veteran guys out there that we could maybe bring in his replacement, but we look internally right now. So it's a lonely time. You know, we love free agency. It's kind of fun playing the video game hockey where everyone's signing big contracts. But if you don't get one early and you're just hanging out there now, it's not nearly as fun when your future is up in the air the way it is for so many of these players.
MJ will be watching, listening to tonight's game. It's Canada-Slovakia, 6 o'clock on TSN and here on TSN 1050 as well. Thanks for doing this, my friend. All the best out in Edmonton, and keep up the great work.
All right, boys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks, Johnny.
Mike Johnson, TSN hockey analyst. And I do have 20 fingers working on the Will Chat Then from your appearance with Mike Johnson. All those fateful years ago, where I would say your star really started to take off that evening. And that was an exciting day for you, Al's brother, as Mike Johnson kind of detailed that as well. Speaking of excitement, TSN 1050 is delivering backpacks filled with supplies and supporting local families during these difficult times. It's all part of the Back to School Backpacks event happening August 24th, and this year's event is brought to you by Vanilla Prepaid, available for purchase at Petro-Canada, together in partnership with the Children's Breakfast Club's 1,010 young students will receive the tools they need to succeed before the school bell rings in September. For all the details, head to tsn1050.ca. Back to wrap things up with my FanDuel best bets, and can 20 fingers find the Mike Johnson, Al's brother, Brian Hayes, Jeff O'Neill, Will Chat Then? We'll find out next. All right, it's time now for today's best bets, brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. We are finally here. It's the NFL preseason. Gets underway officially tonight. Couple of games on the schedule. My focus on the New York Giants. My team. I have bets against Cole Yakubo. Bets against Cause on the over-under of 7.5 wins. I'm on the over, and those two losers are on the under. I'm also on the Giants tonight. -3 against the Patriots. We know New England's resting almost all their starters. You won't see Mac Jones, really the only big name on that entire roster offensively. But the Giants, they're starting a lot of their guys, so we're expected to play at least the first quarter. So we're going to take the Giants here, -3. We have seen a ton of scoring between St. Louis and Colorado in their games this week. Just crazy amount of runs. I think that's going to continue tonight. Two mediocre pitchers on the hill. The over 11.5 runs is the play. And Winnipeg, they're probably going to continue to be undefeated after tonight's game against Montreal. But a 12-point spread, that is a big number. I'm going to take Montreal plus the points here. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Now, we have a text from a listener, Al's brother.
Okay.
His name is Ernie. He invited you to be his guest in the Ticats Alumni Lounge tomorrow night, pregame, free food, discounted beer prices. Let me know. I'll send you details on how to access. Wow, Ernie actually invited me as well, but it sounds like Ernie is a, I guess, would he be a Ticats alumni? We'd have to go research this, but Al's brother, you going to take Ernie up on his offer?
I just might. I mean, I'm going to be there. A chance to, I mean, I don't say no to free food too often, my guy. So I might have to take him up on that offer. Hit me up on Instagram, Ernie. Mickey Canuck. Yes. Hit me up on IG.
I think
Ernie, maybe we can figure something out.
I'm pretty sure Ernie might be a rival real estate agent to yourself, Al's brother. I was looking, I'm looking him up on the Google machine.
Well, he would not be a rival. He would be a companion. I'm a mortgage broker. So
real estate business is good for me. My bad. You are a man of many talents. Many, many talents. None of which involve gambling. Sorry.
Hey, man, 3-0 in the preseason. Yeah. All right. Preseason, we're rolling.
And Ernie, I do appreciate the offer. I'm unable to attend this evening, but I am curious to know how Ernie has access to the Ticats Alumni Lounge. Free food. That's a must. That's
I
a
like
must
free food.
Take. I'm gonna. So Ernie included his cell number, Al's brother, and I'm going to pass it over to you right now. I don't know what your email is, but in any case, I will forward it to you at some point soon. And then tomorrow you have to go because we need stories from the Alumni Lounge for the Ticats. Maybe you'll see Darren Flutie or Henry Burris in the Ticats Alumni Lounge. I don't know. Some great Ticats of yesteryear.
Casey Printers, perhaps?
Casey Printers will be there. I don't know. I don't know. But anyways, that's something you got to do for us, Al's brother. Content for the show, massive.
I just might have to take him up on that offer. I mean, I'd be a fool to turn down free food. Like, I'd just be a flat-out fool. I'm going to be there anyway. I might as well.
Well, you're not, you are looking potentially to move from Niagara Falls to Toronto. And again, we talked about real estate agents. Anyone out there who's got a hookup for Al's brother on a Toronto condo, you know, reach out to him because he's looking. He's looking. And he needs a significant discount, though. We're not talking about point paying full freight. He wants at least 50% off. I think that's a reasonable ask for someone of your magnitude, Al's brother.
I would agree. I would agree. So, yeah, anyone else, you know, you want to give me free food, tickets, potentially lodging, just pay for my life. Just pay for me to live, basically. Lodging. I'll be indebted to you and be best friends forever.
That's pretty reasonable if you ask me.
Yeah, I think so.
If you're talking about building property values in our city, having you move back from Niagara back to Toronto, I would say the housing crisis is over before it starts.
I want to get back in there. Like, I every time I do go downtown, hasn't been too often since the pandemic, but once I get down there, I get the itch, like the vibe, like it's vibing again. It's vibrant down there. So I'd love to get back into the city, man. Especially once hockey gets back, Leafs games, Raptors games. You know, this fall, it's going to be nice. It's going to be real, real nice if I can get back into the city.
And we could hang out all the time. That's probably the biggest draw for you.
Yeah, we'll see about that one.
Yeah, when I say hang out all the time, maybe one time, But
if you're ordering the Uber Eats, I'll swing by.
Yeah, I'll be delivering the Uber Eats, not ordering it.
That's
you know
true.
How I operate.
Deliver, stop in. Hey, brought our food. Cool.
Thank you to Arad. Fantastic job producing today's program. 20 fingers, as always. Magnificent work, Al's brother. You have a big homework assignment: the Alumni Lounge for the Ticats. I guess that's on Friday, so
tomorrow,
you really won't be
yeah.
able to report back. I mean, you'll send me text. I want a picture with Ernie. It's something I want to see for sure.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll we can report on it on Tuesday.
I like that. Ooh, that's a fantastic idea. That's right. Overdrive Tuesday, me, you, and Corrado. So we're done here. Thanks to everyone for listening. Again, if you missed any of our interviews, any of our hours, go to Spotify or iTunes. Just search for Stop and subscribe, rate and review while you're there. 5 stars. Maybe leave a little note of encouragement for Al's brother and myself and Coley Acovo, I suppose. When he's actually on his own show, which is very rarely these days. Anyways, we're out of here. Back at it again, 6 a.m. Take it away, Al's brother.
Ciao. That's why you come to First Up. It's first class.